We had a great service already this morning. The presence of God moved, and I talked about you coming prepared, that you have a big part to play in that, which is absolutely true. But it's the whole body working together. The praise and worship team coming in practices, they have to be dedicated to this. Everybody pretty much has full-time jobs and still comes to the church. I've joked with Judy that she lives here. She comes on Monday nights for prayer. She comes on Wednesday nights for service. She's here Tuesdays or Thursdays for practice. She practically lives here and holds down a full-time job. And so, you know, the praise and worship team flowing in the Spirit of God, being open to flow in the Spirit of God and dedicating their time, and you being open to flow in the Spirit of God. This is the reason we are having these meetings. We are creating an atmosphere for God to move. Hello? Let me just say that again. We're creating an atmosphere for God to move. See, mankind has known for a long time that we need to prepare to be in a place of the presence of the Lord. The Jewish priest would actually, when they were transcribing the Torah, when they would come to the word Jehovah, first of all, they wouldn't even say Jehovah. They didn't believe they were worthy enough. Thankfully, now, the blood of Jesus, we're not even able to say the name Jehovah. And when they would transcribe, when they would come to the word Jehovah, they would go and take a bath, change their clothes, put on clean clothes, and then come and write the name Jehovah. And then when they got to, and think about that, there are some scriptures that have Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. That's a lot of baths in one day. That's a lot of baths. And so they prepared to be in the presence of the Lord. And not that we have to go into that extent, but I think we need to be conscious of the presence of the Lord before we ever get here. I like to make statements like this. These are true. These are biblical. But I like to just tell myself. I want myself to know some things. You may not talk to yourself. That's okay. I talk to myself. And I'll tell myself, where you go, you bring the presence of the Lord. Where you go, you speak the word of the Lord. You change atmospheres because you show up. The Lord is with me. He leads me, guides me, directs me. So everywhere I go, I'm supposed to be there. Oh, and I can change things, not because of me, but because of the God who lives on the inside of me. Well, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Well, I don't think I got all this praise out of me yet. Oh, I'm so thankful. I was telling the team in the back of my life, 11 months. It took us 11 months to get here. 11 months to get to this place. But this is a good place. I got to tell you, your praise blessed me. Thank you. Thank you for cutting loose. Thank you for getting out and dancing right at the beginning. That blesses me. People that step out and praise the Lord. Do what is on their heart to do. Because I've already said this, praise is not about you getting. What is it with Pentecost? People, it's always about what we get, what we get, what we get. We're blessed, and we're believing God for, you know, yachts and helicopters and planes and you know, $1 million in the bank. It's all about what we get, Pentecostals, and we like the feeling. I like the feeling too, and I ain't knocking all this. This is biblical stuff. This is biblical stuff. God wants you to prosper, mind, soul, and body. Biblical, but we made it about us. We made it about us so that my business could be better than so-and-so's business, and so that I could have more, and I could go on vacation, and I could bless my family, which are all godly things, but we got a problem. We all of a sudden focused on us. I. Satan was always about himself. I will lift my throne up. I will be exalted. I will do this and I will do that. Jesus said, when they came to him and said, you healed the sick. I do what I see my Father do. It's important that I leave so that the Holy Spirit may come. He always pointed to the Trinity. He always took the focus off of him and pointed it to God Almighty. You did all this stuff, Jesus. Yes, because I've seen my Father in heaven do it. And so what does that look like in modern day English? You laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Yes, because the Bible tells me to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I point it back to Jesus. There's nothing I work up. This whole meeting had nothing to do with me. I didn't fast and pray extra hard this week. I didn't do all that. I ate before I got out here. I drank a cup of coffee before I got out here. It was all delicious. But it comes back to you responding to the presence of the Lord. Oh, and the words of the great prophet, you ain't seen nothing yet. Some of you will catch on to that later. But praising God is more about giving than receiving. And I'm going to tell you, I was raised a good little Pentecostal. Not the denomination, but charismatic Pentecostal. I knew everything there was about praising the Lord. I grew up, there's a whole atmosphere, there's a whole culture of praising the Lord. In some churches, you've seen it, they fall so pretty, stiff as a board, so light, the ushers so lightly. That was not my church. They were wild. You never knew what was going to happen. They broke things. There's a chicken and the swan. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen the chicken and the swan? It's a little graceful and then it's not. You know, it is and it ain't. The arms go up and then the head starts moving. Some of you have seen that, some of you haven't. All right, I can see you grew up Pentecostal. We grew up in the same community, the same type of church. And there was even a Pentecostal jump, you know. It wasn't just steady jumping. It was a hop and then a pause and a hop and a little bounce and a big bounce and a little bounce and a big bounce and a little bounce and a big bounce. That, it was just the way the culture was. And you learned these things being around them. And then there were some people you knew. You knew Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so was going to cut loose. They were going to cut loose. I'm just going to need you to back up 3 feet. Why? Oh, that's why. Okay. And so, you know, there was a culture about it, but can I tell you something? God is going to move on your heart, and there may be a part of it that is you. All right, and I'm not scared of that. I don't know why there's whole denominations that are scared of it. Well, I don't want that to be me. I want it to be God. Well, until you die, it's going to be you to some extent. You're in a flesh suit. You're in an earth suit that will turn to dust. It will turn back to dust. And can I tell you something? It does not hurt God's feelings because you jumped out and praised Him before His Spirit fell on you. Can you see God in heaven getting upset? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Not that He's saying Jesus because, you know, how we say Jesus. He's talking to a son. He's sitting beside Him. It's like, Jesus, look at Raj. Look at him. I didn't touch him. Holy Spirit didn't even touch him, but he just got so wrapped up in the song and the music about praising me, he just cut loose. He just started that little jump and that half jump and that little jump and the big jump and the little jump and the big jump. Look at him, Jesus, that's all him. I'm so upset right now I could spit nails. That is not the conversation in heaven. I believe God the Father looks at God the Son and says, Jesus, look at Raj. Spirit ain't even fell yet. Now what he doesn't know, in about 7 earth minutes, I'm going to have a cloud fall down right on top of him. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. He doesn't even know it yet. But look at him. Look at him. I would never make someone dance like that. That's ridiculous. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Look at him, Jesus. Look at him. He's praising me with everything on the inside of him because he's so thankful for what I've done for him. He's so thankful for who I am as me. He's so thankful. You know what? Don't we have some extra blessing up here? Why don't you just go ahead and send that on down? It blesses the Lord that you praise him. It blesses the Lord that you worship him. It blesses the Lord. And can I tell you something? Like we said, in Pentecost, it was all about what we felt. Man, that was a good service. That was such a good service. What was preached? I have no idea. But woo, it was good. It was good. The Spirit was a moving. We danced for an hour. We shouted. I'd be like, you know, my Fitbit said I lost 750 calories just at church. Hey, what you need to do, our children, praise the Lord, you got a Fitbit, you put it on them. They'll get your calories and exercise for the day. Can I tell you something? This is interesting because I normally wear, you know, the watch that tells me how much I walk more on a Sunday than any other day of the week. I am not kidding. Last Sunday, my grand total was 7.5 miles. All of it was church. All of it was church. I told you we need an exercise video. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Shake that fat till it's almost gone. Huh? Praising the Lord will help you in multiple ways. It'll build up your lung capacity. It'll help you get more fit. And it'll cause your spirit to become more fit. Do you know the more you step out, the more it's like exercising. The more you step out in the spirit, the stronger your spirit begins to recognize. Do you know there are certain exercises for the military, for the police, and for the highway patrol that they try to become muscle memory? That reactions that they do because they've been trained to react. Not to react out of fear, not to react out of excitement, not to be able to react out of all these things, but it's muscle memory. Because they practice and they practice and they practice. Can I tell you something? We should get into the Spirit of God to an extent that our spirit is in just muscle memory. You know, when I'm in a crowd outside of church, I could tell those who were raised in church in the Pentecostal side. Would you like to know why? Because something amazing happens, something good happens, and this is what they do. They just automatically start clapping. That's because they're Pentecostal and we clap when we're happy. You just ask Jessie. She's like, why are you clapping? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm happy. Like, I just grew up clapping when I was happy. You know, it's just a part of life. It should become to a place where it is muscle memory. Something happens, hallelujah! It's just muscle memory. It is something we do. Our spirit, the more we practice, the more we flow in the Spirit of God, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes. Religion has tried to make it hard to get to God, and that's why in service we're very stiff. But at a football game, we'll tear loose. Should we not praise God more than we are excited and praising at a football game or a soccer game? Most of the people clapping were women, so let's just say it this way. How about we praise God more than when we find those shoes on sale? All right, there's the men. There's the men. It should become a part of our life and who we are. That we just praise the Lord. We praise the Lord in a dance. We praise the Lord in a shout. We praise the Lord. And can I tell you something? When we begin to praise the Lord, we will rope heaven and pull it down. Yeah. Because God promises us that He will inhabit the praises of His people. And so when we begin to praise the Lord, we rope heaven and pull it right on down. Heaven kisses earth. We get it right down in and among us. And so I want to encourage you that your praise and worship's not about you. It's not about you. You give your praise. You give your praise. Like you give your offering, you give your praise. You give it. Now, well, the wonderful thing is God doesn't take anything we give and just say, oh, thank you so much, and that's it. He always takes it, multiplies it, and gives it back. And so that's what we experience. But the problem with Pentecost and the problem with charismatics is that we have got so focused on us and experiencing that pleasure. Because it is pleasurable. Can I tell you something? When I first started, you think I preach long now. You don't know nothing. You don't know anything. I used to preach for hours. It was nothing for me to preach 3 hours. It was easy. You want to know why? Because when we got in the presence of God, I was addicted. I loved that feeling. And I wouldn't stop preaching till it left. That's why I would preach for so long. And my father, who was always my greatest critic until I got married. She keeps me online. She keeps me online. I'm thankful. I'm not bashing. I'm praising. And then she'll take that praise, multiply it, and turn it back later. But my father used to tell me, son, you preach it in and you preach it out. You got to quit that. He's like, you got to quit that. And he would tell me also when I was preaching there, like right now, and you know, lunch is in, what time is it? I don't even know. In 1 minute for my family. Lunch is in 1 minute. We eat early. My daddy would tell me, hungry stomachs have no ears. Son, stop going so long just because you love that feeling. He's like, what you don't notice is the rest of us lost that feeling a while ago and you still got it. Hooked on a feeling. I was hooked on that feeling. And see, what happened was it came more about me than what it was about the Lord and what it was about delivering to the people. I got addicted to it. Oh, had to have it. Had to have it. I couldn't wait for my next hit of the Lord. Couldn't wait for it. I would get by myself. I would get in my room. I would praise the Lord. I craved it. Had to have it. Nothing wrong with wanting that. But it's got to be, we've got to change our focus. It's not about that feeling that I get. It's not about that joy that comes to my life. That new dance, that new song that lifts off me all the trouble. Because can I tell you something? I know this to be a fact. When I have a day and it's all on my shoulders, it's weighing me down. And I shared this testimony, I think, last Sunday or the Sunday before. It was on a Wednesday and I held on to it and I held on to it and I held on to it and I held on to it. And when we got in praise and worship, it left me. And then I felt so ridiculous that I waited so long to get this mess off of me because I knew how to do it. I knew to get in the presence of the Lord and that mess would leave me. I knew that, but I held on to it all day long until I got into praise and worship. But the focus, this is what I wanted to get you to. The focus is not about what we receive from it, but we do. It's all a side effect. But the problem is people are after the side effect. They're after the side effect instead of the real deal, the meat of it. See, the problem is with a lot of Pentecostal and charismatic churches is that we are addicted to milkshakes and cotton candy. They're sweet. They're wonderful. It tastes good. It feels good for a little while. It's wonderful. You're out of breath when you leave the church. We had church. But it's all the side effect. And they're not after the meat of it. About pouring. Praise and worship should be about pouring our praise out on the Lord. It should be about worshiping the Creator. It should be about being thankful, expressing our love to the Father. We've said this, love that is not expressed is not love. Worship that is not expressed is not worship. Husbands, look at your wife. Wives, look at your husbands. Single people, look at the person you're believing God for. If you got to get up and walk to the other side of the church, go ahead. Lewis, go. Where are you going, Lewis? Look at your wife. Look at your husband. And I want you to repeat after me. Love that is not expressed is not love. I am going to express my love more than ever before. I took that as a promise. Love must be expressed. Worship must be expressed. It is not worship unless it is expressed. I just want to point out a couple things and I'm done. I've been going for 16 minutes. Can you handle five more? Yes. That's the one thing I do love about Pentecostal people is they don't mind going long. I'm not going long. I just want you, because all of a sudden, the ex-Catholics and Presbyterian just tightened up real quick. They're like, oh, I'm not there yet, Pastor. Give me time. Y'all are ridiculous. That's why I love y'all. Y'all are my kind of people. When God has a desire, have you ever thought about the desires of God? God has a desire. He has a plan for your life. He has a desire for your life. And we know it. But see, this is what it is with church people. We have been notorious for turning everything about us. Everything about God has a plan for my life. And He does. He so does. But let's be so focused on the plan for the world. The plan for others. The plan for our wives, our husbands, our children. Oh, can I tell you, when my little girl ran, oh, I about melted in the back. It about blessed my heart. And, you know, I grew up in a church. I remember one of the deacons, the kids begin to praise the Lord. He said, that ain't real. I'm like, I don't give a rip. I used to play church all the time. I laid hands on my stuffed animals and they would fall down. Then I'd get them and shake them. Make them roll. my sister Tommy, we always made her the center. She sat in the back. Hey, everybody back there. we made her the center. She had to come forward during the altar call. And then I would grab onto her jaw and I'd say, "Praise the Lord." And I'd begin to shake her jaw. And she'd go, "Praise the Lord." Like, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let it go." We played church. It's all right. I think that blesses the Lord. I don't think that bothers God in any way, shape, or form. The only people it bothers is the devil. Because he's looking at people that are practicing about growing up and flowing in the giftings of God, that are open to the praises of the Lord. The only people it upsets is demons, imps, and the Satan. And religious people. If that offended you, thank God you found something that needs to change in your life. Bless the Lord. So we need to change our focus. But God has a desire. And let's focus on the desire of God. God created man out of desire. He desired to flow with mankind. He desired. And can I tell you this? And we got to get out of this whole sexist mentality when we say man. Because when you look up the word man in the original Greek or Hebrew, it's normally talking about mankind. And leave it to King James to shorten it to man. Instead of saying the human race, you know? And so when it's normally speaking about man, I shall move upon man, mankind. And we know that. We can go to the scripture that says there is neither Greek nor Jew, neither male nor female. You know, there's none of that in the presence of the Lord. There is one. The creation of God. Now, absolutely, you know, we can get into the teaching of husbands, wives, relationships, all that. And we got some teaching on that online. And we can get in that at another time. But that's not what we're talking about right now. But when it comes to the move of God, when it comes to the plan of God, he doesn't favor me over anyone. He doesn't favor me over anybody. You know, I was talking, we won't go there. So let's just get to the point. So God has a desire. He had a desire to have a relationship with mankind. He had a desire. So he created Adam. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to tell you a whole lot of new stuff this morning. But God, when he spoke to something, now see, we will use the word made or created. I created something. You ain't created nothing. We have never created anything. We have taken things that God has created and made things from what he's created. And then with God, if you look at God, there was times that he created things and then he made things, which is interesting. I think way out there in the ethers a lot of times. And I interest me. You may not. I may not interest you, but I interest me. I can sit in a room by myself and have a conversation up here, not out loud, because people will, you know, make me wear a nice little coat. I feel like Sheldon off of whatever that show is.
Big Bang
Theory. You're crazy. No, I'm not. My mom had me tested. And so, you know, I will have these thought processes in my own head where I think about God created something. He created it out of nothing. He spoke to nothing and created. But then he made out of that. But what's interesting, when you look at what God made out of something he created, what he made was supposed to sustain it, was supposed to nourish it, was everything that needed that he made it out of. Let's go to this. God created the earth. He created the earth. And then he made trees and plants and herbs. He made it out of the dust. He made man out of the dust. This flesh was made out of the dust. So everything that the tree, that the plant needed came from what he created. What he made needed everything out of the creation. So every plant, it needed the nitrogen. It needed all this stuff from the earth to sustain itself. And so that is awesome. When you think about yourself, we're a three-part being. So this flesh needs some stuff that comes from what it was made out of. The earth. There's minerals that we need. There's vitamins, there's things that we need. And some of you, you know, you get it different ways. You eat that grass and those leaves that pop up out of the earth. You got to wash all that dirt off of it. That's, some of you eat it. I don't mind that. You just throw a lot of bacon and nuts on top of it and it's delicious. Yeah. And see, now this is what's awesome. Ready? So the animals, see, like, okay, I will just even give you this. Cows eat that grass. They make milk. That milk is churned. It makes butter, which is delicious. It makes ice cream, which is wonderful. And there you go. I'm eating healthy things. It comes from the earth. And so there's a flesh side that needs that stuff that comes out of the dirt. But we're a three-part being. And the part I want to focus on right now is our spirit. That God formed this clump of dirt, picked it up and went, this is now my new praise and worship leader. And Satan had to watch that. The praise and worship leader of all of heaven had to watch God sculpt dirt and then breathed into it, and a spirit came inside of it. So this flesh, everything we need comes from this world. But your spirit, everything it needs comes from what it was created out of. Let us make man in our own image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, let us make man out of us. And everything they need will come from us. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. This flesh will go back from what it was created from. This spirit will go back to what it was created from. That was the purpose and the desire of God the Father, was to create, have a relationship with, and be a part of our lives. And when we worship, we're fulfilling a desire that God has. Oh, oh. And we get to be a part of it. We get to worship. We get to bring heaven down. We get to experience the presence of the Lord. Our spirit connects with Him. And everything our spirit needs draws from Him. And praise and worship is a big part of it. And I'm going to continue to focus next week on praise and worship. But we are made from the Lord. I want to read a couple scriptures to you. Because if I don't, it will be pointed out to me that I did not read scriptures to you. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures really quickly. So you can write them down. You're not going to be able to follow me. Exodus 6 and 7. I will take you for my people and I will be your God. Leviticus 26 and 12. I will walk among you and will be your God and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 7 and 3. But this thing command I thee saying, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 11 says, so they shall be my people and I will be your God. Jeremiah 24 and 7. Says, and I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord and they shall be my people and I will be their God. Jeremiah 30:22, and ye shall be my people and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 11:20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them and they shall be my people and I will be their God. Ezekiel 14:11, that the house of Israel may go forth no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, I may be their God, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 36:28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I have given unto your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 37:27, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Ezekiel, let's go to Hosea. I'm not going to read them all. I got a list. I will skip over some of them. Zechariah 8:8, and I will bring them and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem and they shall be my people and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Let's jump to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 6:16. 16, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 8 and 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their mind and write them on or in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be a people to me. Revelations 21 and 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I hear a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The desire of God is that he would be your God and you would be his people. Now, I have not done a search or on phrases or anything of this nature, but this phrase, I shall be their God and they shall be my people, have to be one of the top most repeated phrases throughout the entire Bible. And it's just showing you his desire. So when we worship the Lord, when we read his word, there's so much more to it than just worshiping. But worship, I find that as people, as we grow in the presence of God, worship can be one of the fastest ways that we get into the tangible anointing, the tangible presence of God. It's so vital. It's so important. And can I tell you, the revelation that your worship is more than just for you is so powerful. Paul and Silas, thank you. The presence of God, people were saved. Why? Because two people, in the midst of hell breaking loose all around them, decided to lift up the name of Jesus. Your praise never affects just you. When you come to church and you praise God, get over yourself. I mean that so respectfully. I mean that in so much love. But the praise that you give, it breaks other people loose. It sets other people free. And I need you to praise the Lord. I need you to add your supply. I need you to give your worship. I need you to give your praise. There is a lost and dying world, and there have been people that give their life to Jesus because other people around them was praising God. The sinner has gripped the back of the pews because of convicting power of the Holy Spirit falling, saying, you need a Savior. A Savior was sent. His name was Jesus. And you need him. All came because people were free to worship the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done here. We thank you for your presence. And God, we worship you. And we thank you that we get something out of it. But Father, there'll come a time in our life. We've been in your kingdom for a while. It's already happened. But we praise you and we feel nothing. But we give a sacrifice of praise anyway. Because it's not about us. It's about you, your kingdom. And when we worship, whether we sense it or whether we don't, mountains are moving. Atmospheres are changing. People's lives are being set free. I thank you, Father, that in this place, people's lives are being set free. If you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted the Son of God as my Savior, I want to tell you, being in the family of God, that's the first step. If you're in this place and you say, that's me, Pastor, that's me, I'd like to confess Jesus is my Savior today. I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt His drawing. And I know that's what I need to do today. If that's you, would you raise your hands? I want to pray with you. Anybody in here say, that's me. You've never done it before. I'm not saying you've done this as a child. I'm saying you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. I got one more question. You may say, Pastor, I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I've walked away from His presence. I've walked away from His will for my life. I'm not saying you made a mistake this week. I'm not saying you got mad in traffic. I'm not saying you've done something you weren't supposed to do and you've asked for forgiveness. I'm saying, like the prodigal son, you have walked away from the presence of the Father. You have spent time. You've made conscious decisions to stay away from God and His will for your life. If that's you and you say, I know today, today is my day to come back home. If that's you, would you raise your hand quickly, quickly, boldly? Let me see. Anybody in here says, that's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else says, that's me? I thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. As a congregation, I want you to say this prayer after me. We're all going to do it. This is the reason we're here, is to bring people back to the presence of the Lord, to be priests, to point to God, and to bring others up with us so that they could be kings and priests as well. So let's say this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the work of the cross. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan for our life. You have a destiny for us. We declare today, we will walk it out. We will praise you. We will give to you with every fiber of us. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.